are fools. So I fit in that category pretty well. Thanks. This is what we were looking for. If I could get you to turn your Bibles to Philippians 1:27, we'll be reading into chapter 2, and as you pass by it, you might want to bookmark 1 Corinthians 8. This year, with all these new ministries, these fellowship opportunities, and just this new church app that we're getting here soon, I'm really looking forward to that. It's clear that we're trying to make it as easy as possible to grow, to serve, and to evangelize without hindrance. And it doesn't matter what work it is, something that will always be a hindrance to that work is division. And I want to give a brief little background and story of my life and what I've experienced. So, growing up, I was in the same house as two of my brothers, okay? I have four siblings, but I lived with two of them. The youngest one was 4 years apart from me. And that house wasn't big enough for all of us boys just living together with just piles of testosterone everywhere. So we would argue a lot, and we were butting heads all the time. Like, there wasn't a day where there wasn't a fight. So when our mom, our dad, our grandma, our grandpa, it doesn't really matter, would tell us to do something, it always turned into a fight. It always turned into an argument, and there was division amongst us. For example, there was one time we were told to shovel the driveway, which should have taken like 10 or 15 minutes. It was a tiny driveway. But within 5 minutes, one of my little brothers was inside drinking hot cocoa, and I was body slamming the other one for arguing with me, which is the perk of being an older brother. The church family can be a lot like that at times. And Paul addressed division in his letter to the Philippians and the church in Corinth. And that brings us to our first set of scripture. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. In one mind and one spirit. Together for the faith of the gospel. We can't do that divided. We can't do that arguing about minor issues like end times prophecy, about if you aren't able to drink at all or if you can't drink to drunkenness. If the NFL is rigged, because it is, and it's against my Cowboys. I'm certain of it. Philippians 1:28-2:3. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. Perdition means utter destruction, which that's bad news for them. But to you of salvation, that of God, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. If there be therefore any consolation of Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loveliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I'm nervous, and I'm getting, like, scaredy burps, and my glasses are fogging up. I don't like it. Amen. Thanks, Chad. The definition of strife is contention and anger or hostility for superiority. The definition for vainglory is empty pride. By knowing the meaning of those verses, we can see that our minds shouldn't be focused on us, our opinions, our wills, any of that. It should be focused on the will of God and edifying of others and edifying of ourselves through the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:4 says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Going back to verse 28, we can see that we don't need to fear the enemy when we're together or when we're of one mind. There's strength and unity. Standing together in the gospel, so much strength that it is an evident token of perdition, utter destruction to our adversaries. I brought this up. I used to work in HVAC and I took a class deal, so I don't need it anymore. But this is one piece of paper. It would be better if it was blank, but I'll come up further so y'all can see me. This piece of paper can do a lot of things on its own. It can be a paper airplane. It can be a letter. If you're desperate, it can be a napkin. And if you're really desperate, toilet paper. But on its own, it rips really easily. But this entire booklet here, each page has something to give. Each page gives new information and it builds on to the one before. Each says their own thing, but they work together to form one coherent writing. Right? So when it's together, I ain't tearing this. And I know I'm not that big of a guy, so I'm going to give it to Dan, and I'm going to be amazed if he can tear it, because I don't doubt it, but it's pretty. Watch him tear it. I'm unconfident now. You know what? Give it back before you break it. Never mind. But say page 3 and 4 get in an argument. So 3 removes itself. 3 is all alone. Now this piece of information doesn't have a step. You don't know what this piece of paper had.
Right. Yeah.
Now, the church body is a lot like that. And I figured because this is probably an embarrassing illustration, I'll do it to myself instead of bringing Mama Jen up here to do it or something. Okay, Grandma? Yes. All right. Can you go ahead and grab your pant legs right at your knees?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So let's say her hands are Christian. He's one of the guys that come to church here. He's doing a school thing. And then her legs are Ryan. Now, her hands grabbing onto her pants, that's those two getting into an argument. And go ahead and try to pull against yourself. It ain't.
What do you mean?
Just pull up with your hands and down with your legs. I'm so happy I didn't have to do this. Now, you're not done yet. So, this is the commandment that we get from Jesus. This is his will for our lives and our mission given by the Bible. Go ahead and keep grabbing onto your legs, but try to grab this. All right, now you can go ahead and let go. There you go. See how easy it is when the body of Christ works together to achieve one goal? I need this back. Thanks. You can go sit down. Thanks, Mama Jen. Let's give her a round of applause. Now, this is the best part. What is the primary goal? What is the commandment that we were given by the Lord to do? It is to share the gospel.
Right. Amen.
We are privileged to share that joint mission as ambassadors for the Lord. Philippians 2:5-2:11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, sorry, there was one of the scaredy burps. You got me. I was winning this entire time, but it snuck its way out. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
This is the cure. This is the cure that we get to share with the world. Instead of sharing that cure, we find ourselves butting heads with our brothers and sisters in Christ, causing division. And we're not alone. That's been happening since the church began. In time, a division made its way into the church of Corinth, and causing strain in the church, and along with sexual misconduct and controversy about the resurrection, this caused Paul to rebuke them. And here we read 1 Corinthians 8:1-13. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Dang, there's another one. Sorry. It throws me off every time, too. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things which things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, but there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods many, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with the conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat it are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of them which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. In Corinthian society, idolatry was running rampant. Giving an offering to an idol was part of everyday life. And while these idols had no power, these young Christians, who young in their faith, who grew up in that society where that was a norm, could have still believed that these idols had some power, and this could have made them feel conviction. And Paul goes on to say that sinning against the conviction of a brother or sister in Christ is sinning against Christ, because it could cause them to stumble. While Paul has every right to eat and drink whatever he wants, he says he would never eat meat again to preserve another's walk with God. Isn't another person's walk with the Lord more important than one of these minor issues that cause division between the body of Christ? Jesus even points out the destruction that division can cause while he was leading his earthly ministry in Matthew 12:25-26. And at this time, the Pharisees were accusing him of being of Satan, and he got his power from the devil. And to which he responded this. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Suppose we as a church and as saints are disputing with each other instead of spreading the gospel and proceeding with like-mindedness. How can we be edifying to each other? How can we spread the gospel without hindrance? And how can we claim the victory that we're already promised in this book? Utter destruction. That's what we're promised when we're of one mind. These little minor issues aren't worth the opportunities lost to tell somebody about the gospel, to share the word, and to build each other up as brothers and sisters in Christ. Pastor Ryan gave me a quote that said, don't major on the minors. Pastors will split hairs on verses as their neighbor goes to hell. And that is such a sad thing. We can't let that happen. The Lord's commission is far greater than whatever is going on. It's far greater than our opinions. It's far greater than the fact that the Cowboys can never win a Super Bowl. I don't get it. Jesus Christ died for these people. Jesus Christ shed his perfect blood, not so we could wrestle with flesh and blood, but so that we can bring broken people like you and I to him, to his grace, where he can make them whole, just like he did us.
Yes, sir.
I will not squander that opportunity to show somebody the love of Christ for the sake of being right in a disagreement. In Ephesians 4, 1 to 6, the Lord through Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now I'm going to hit you with some quick vocab. Beseech means ask with urgency. Vocation is calling by the will of God. Lowliness is humble and not taken of pride. Meekness is gentleness, and I really like that one. There's a saying that goes, you'd rather be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. And that I identify with the word meekness, and that's how I would describe it to somebody. Long-suffering is long endurance. Forbearing is patience, and endeavoring is making an effort. Yeah. Paul tells us how to achieve unity with our church family and says something that I find encouraging, edifying, and challenging. And that is the fact that he uses the word endeavoring. And if you remember, that means trying to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity needs to be maintained, and I'm not just saying that we need to keep unity. I'm saying that it takes a conscious effort to sustain unity.
Amen.
This conscious effort makes it simple. Like, say I want to be able to lift 400 pounds. I definitely can't do that, but a way that I can get there, hopefully, or a starting spot, is to do 10 push-ups every day. You know what you have to do, but you have to do it. And that is something, that's the challenging part, is it means that you have to be intentional. We work toward unity by being humble, which makes me think of stubbornness as the issue being addressed. And how can we be considered humble if we go into it with an attitude that says, no matter what this person says, they're wrong, I'm right, and they're stupid because they don't agree with me.
Yeah.
And that's how I was with my brothers, and sometimes still am. Meekness tells us we must be more considerate of where our brother or sister is coming from. We need to listen and try to understand the other perspective. with longsuffering and forbearing, which reminds us to be patient with one another out of love. And I struggle with all of these way more than I should, but that one I struggle with a lot. I get very defensive, and through the love, grace, mercy, and power of the Lord, I need to grow to fix that.
Yeah.
He says amen. Together as a family, let's work toward unity so that we can do and achieve the work that the Lord has put on each and every one of our hearts. Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So if you see me talking to a squirrel, I'm not that crazy, just a little crazy. I'm going to explain the gospel using a tool called Romans Road. It's really difficult to do the Lord's work when you don't know what has already been done, and when that work is sharing the work that he did while he was alive and the work that he did on the cross, it really helps to know what that work is. So I'm going to ask Barb to come up and play. We'll go through Romans Road, and then I'll pray and you'll be dismissed. All right. Romans 3:10-12 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are altogether gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Sorry, that was Romans 5:12. Now I'm going to Romans 6:23, which says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So far, we've spoken about where we were separate, where the division between man and God came, and it was in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned against God. That's when man and God were driven apart. That's where that separation came. And we sin, that means that we are now dead. Death entered into the world, and while that means that they died eventually, the death that it's talking there about there in Scripture is separation from God. And this is the good part. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 10:9-10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit."
Yes.
Let's pray. Our perfect Father in heaven, please empower us to carry ourselves in the same manner as you when you were on earth. Please help us to find unity amongst ourselves and exalt others and their needs above our own. But most importantly, please help us to share your grace with others and let our lives testify to your strength and perfection. Please, Father, help us as a church to let go of the minor things and focus on you and your mission. And as an individual, help us to let go of our works. Help us to let go of our pride, our stubbornness, and our minor issues and grab hold onto you. The fact that you can use someone like me to do a work like yours is mind-blowing. But in my weakness, your strength is perfected. Amen.
Amen.